Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see you. As we get started this morning, I'm going to get you to stand. I'm going to get you to hug it out. Anyone a little chilly this morning? Reach out to those around you and say hi to them and welcome everyone to the house of the Lord. Go ahead and stand and greet those around you before we get started this morning. How's that? Praise him through your song this morning as well.
No. pray with me? Lord God, it's with grateful praise that we come to you this morning and thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. Father God, it's such a joy to come into your house and to rub elbows with people who know you like we know you, and to love you like we love you, and to be loved like you love us. Lord God, it's such a wonderful, warm, comforting feeling. We pray, Father God, that you would bless us and let us be a blessing to you. Give us this day everything that you've got for us, Lord God, and help us be mindful of the blessings that you bring to us each and every day. For it's in your name, your precious, precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Mike. Welcome everyone here this morning to the house of the Lord. Welcome to Faith Princeton. It's our desire, if you're a guest today, that you'd feel at home and welcome as we worship the Lord together. If you've not torn off that connect card and filled that out, we'd appreciate getting to know you a little bit better. Give us some information about yourself. Take it back there to the Welcome Center. We have a special gift for you, and our greeters will give that to you. So glad that you are here today. We'd like to also welcome our new members. We have Richard and Son. I saw you guys over here. Richard and Son joining with us in our faith family. Y'all welcome this morning. Chantel's also joining with us. She had to work today, but we welcome Chantel Bradford as well. So glad that you guys have come to join with us and serve the Lord together for his glory and for his honor. We have a potluck this coming Wednesday for our young at heart, our senior adults, over in the Faith Center next door at 11:30. If you've never joined us and you'd like to do so, we'd encourage you to come over there and join us this Wednesday at 11:30. We also have our Christmas movie night this Friday at 6:30 out here in the back parking lot. Bring your own bowl and bring your soup to share with others. Going to watch The Star. Be a good time this evening. Weather should be pretty nice outside. It might even be warmer out there than what it is in here this morning. How's that? Get our units checked out this week. Hopefully have some more heat for y'all later this week. This afternoon, right after church, we have our ladies going to be gathering over in the gymnasium. Is it in gymnasium or the Faith Center? Do y'all know? Over next door for the annual Christmas ornament exchange and luncheon. So we encourage all of our ladies to join together over there. Even if you didn't bring an ornament to exchange, stay and enjoy the fellowship together there next door. We also have our Christmas concert of praise here in a couple of weeks. It's been a few years since we've done this, and we're looking forward to sharing the Christmas season and song with you. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends to come and enjoy that special night of music at 6 o'clock on December the 17th. We also are starting our week of prayer for our Lottie Moon. We're starting our week of prayer for our international missionary. So if you look there in your bulletin, you have a pamphlet there, and it has day one, day two, and so forth. And so we encourage you each day, take this and pray over those missionaries that specifically mentioned for those days. But today we are starting the week of prayer, and we're also kicking off our drive for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And this offering, all the monies goes directly towards foreign missions. This is not Costa Rica. This helps support foreign missionaries worldwide. And so we have a short video clip we'd like to show you what's going on over in Ukraine.
Виїжджали на 10-й день війни, і це був самий початок. Рішення прийняв чоловік відправити нас. Я їхала сама, вся родина залишилася вдома. Ми в безпеці, так. І, звичайно, перші слова чоловіку, що ми в безпеці вже. Все, ми на місці, ми у Польщі, нас добре прийняли.
Poland brought in the most refugees out of any country. And through that, the Lord opened the door for us to open a refugee center.
People stay in the house anywhere from 2 days to long term. We have one lady that's been there almost since it opened and is there currently.
Так, цей дім взагалі для мене став як другий дім, тому що ми майже рік тут. Холі, Крістін нас зустріла. Ну, тобто, реально так, я знову відчула, що я в безпеці. І мені необхідно було бути і серед людей, тому що, ну, також важкі часи, якось, ну, переживати це все разом було мені легше.
like to hear what you think about having someone like Holly in the house.
Це наша друга мама, можете сказати.
We started a Bible study at the center, and one of the ladies one night was sharing with me that her family was against her studying religion or knowing anything about it, and she didn't know which one was true. And she said, so I just prayed and asked God if he would show me which one is true, which one should I believe, what can I believe? But then the war happened and I came here, and she's like, and then I realized that God led me here and he led me to you. And so she's like, and now I get to study the Bible and now I can learn. Those are the days that you leave super encouraged about what the Lord is doing. So those are good things.
Amen. Wow. What a blessing it is to be able just to see a short glimpse, a small glimpse of how God is using believers all across the world, and in particular in this situation. You've seen it on the news. Sometimes we get jaded, don't we? We see it over and over and over, and week after week, month after month, and the war continues on, and we get jaded. The people on the battlefield, the spiritual battlefield, fighting for believers, fighting to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. That's what this offering goes towards. Our goal is $1,500. And if you'd pray about what the Lord would have you give towards supporting full-time missionaries all across this world. Will you bow with me and let's pray right now for just this cause right now. Father, we thank you for those who's over in Poland and surrounding countries that's serving you, serving faithfully, opening up homes, shelters, for Bible study, for food, for love, to share God's love. And what a great example this sister in Christ is for us, that whatever we do in word or deed, we do it all for the glory of God and for the people that you have us to come in contact with. May others see Christ and see the purpose, the reason why we're reaching out in love is to share the love of Christ as well. Father, we pray for all of our international missionaries right now that you'd give them strength, you give them power, you give them great health. Pray that you'd give them a freshness in their ministry, even right now as we're praying for those that might be discouraged, they might not see a lot of results going on. But Father, I pray that you would keep them steadfast in their service for you, to continue to plant seeds, and that you'd bring together, bring forth the harvest in your time. Lord, we thank you for the calling that you put on many, many, many lives, and I pray that you'd bless them specifically today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
Just the ratio.
Begin our first Sunday of Advent. Today is the first Sunday that we celebrate the Advent season. You may be seated. And we reflect today on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Just like the prophets, God's people are called to have hope in God through the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have, the hope that we have through you and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you sent him to this earth to be a baby, to be born, to live a perfect life, and to sacrifice his all. Everything that he had was his life. He gave his life so freely that we would have life once again. We thank you for the hope that we have. May our light always shine brightly every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing one more time. It's a Christmas hymn of our faith. Go ahead and start it, band, if you will. Christmas hymn of our faith. It's got a little tag to it. I think you'll like it.
Bye.
Counselor, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Amen? Amen. And amen. You may be seated.
Testing, how's that? You know, I was thinking about Christmas time, and as I was getting ready a couple of months ago, God laid it on my heart that, you know, a lot of times at Christmas, we talk about the baby Jesus because it's just such a beautiful story. And in fact, this morning the kids were asking, where's the baby Jesus? He's not up there. I said, well, it's not Christmas Day yet. He didn't get born until Christmas Day, right? And so, you know, we love the story. And so many people love the story of Christmas. In fact, we have all sorts of things that have developed out of this one story, 2,000-year-old story, that have developed into what we see today as Christmas celebrations that sometimes have very little or nothing to do with Jesus at all. But at the same time, you know, Christians sometimes have that tendency to go one way or the other. They either say, well, we need to just ignore Christmas altogether. You know, it's a made-up holiday and everything else. It's not about that. And that it's so commercialized, we need to ignore it altogether. Or there's others that, hey, we just need to go into all of it and do it all and whatever it should be. Here's my thought is go before the Lord and ask the Lord how he wants you to celebrate his birth. Because it is his. And by the way, when we celebrate, the thing that's been on my heart is that it's Jesus is more than a baby. And so we're going to be looking at Colossians 1. And a couple of weeks ago, we got to hit that in our Sunday school classes. But Colossians 1, 15 through 23 is almost like a hymn of the early church that talks about who Jesus is. Because they were going into pagan cultures who had never heard of Jesus. Most of them weren't even that familiar with the Jewish religion of one God and only one God. They had multiple gods, and they were thinking, well, we can add this Jesus to our multiple gods, you know, or they would say, well, we can worship, but we've got to worship the way the Jews do. And Paul and the apostles were trying to say, look, it's about Jesus, but he's more than what you're thinking. And at Christmas this year, I hope we see him more than just a baby. I was thinking about birthdays altogether and you know, thinking about whose birthdays do we celebrate? You know, and there's Martin Luther King Jr. Day in January. And the reason I know these things is because school lets out, you know. And when my kids were going to school, we always liked an extra holiday, you know. But and the teachers are probably saying, yeah, we look forward to January 21st and, you know, February President's Day, where they kind of combined Abraham Lincoln and George Washington's birthdays together for President's Day. And so we celebrate these births, but not because of the special nature of the baby. We celebrate their births because of what they grew up to do and what they contributed to society. And I even was thinking about the other births that we celebrate as our children and our own birthdays. July 12th, by the way. Start saving up for a really nice present. Okay, anyway, July 12th. And so we have our birthdays. My birthday is July 12th, and we come together and celebrate Stan on July 12th. You know, and my mom, you know, we weren't real wealthy, and I had five brothers and sisters, so there was eight of us in the family. And so we weren't going to get a really nice present on our birthday. But what my mom would do is fix our favorite meal for birthday. And so my brother, George, his birthday is July 13th, the very next day. And I always said I'm a day older than him and 5 years younger because he was my older brother. But anyway, so on July 12th, we had hamburgers and tater tots. It's my favorite. Yeah. On the next day, we had steak and potatoes, you know. And George had more expensive taste than I did. But anyway, we celebrate. And when you think about it, and I'm not the first one to say this, but when we celebrate a birthday, we really shouldn't be celebrating the person who was born. I really didn't do anything that day. You know, I just, you know, my mom did everything that day. And so I've heard a lot of people say, on my birthday, I ought to be giving presents to my mom because she's the one that did all the work. And really, there's nothing to celebrate about my birth. It was nothing special. It was the same as that, except for my mom. And she did the work. Well, birthdays, I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating the birth of Christ. In fact, I think the Bible writes about it, so we know how special it was. But it's not special because a baby was born. It's special because the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace was born. It's because of who he grew up to be and what he came to do. But even before that, it's because who he is in eternity. And so we're going to be looking at Colossians 1, 15. And today, as we're talking about keeping Christ in Christmas, we're going to talk about that he's more than a baby. And the reason I put keeping Christ in Christmas is because Christmas starts with Christ. The mass, if you put an S on the other end of it, a second S, it's mass. It was originally a time to worship Christ. The mass was a worship service. And so Christmas for us as Christians, whatever else you include in your family time and your friendships and your gift giving and everything else, whatever else you decide it's okay to include in that, make sure that your Christmas is about worshiping Christ and that everything you do is an act of worship to the one who came for us. And so let's look at Colossians 1. We're going to read all these verses today, but I'm only going to deal with one verse today, and then Brandon Whitaker will be preaching next week, and he's going to be dealing with two of the verses. I told him this morning, I thought just dealing with one verse was going to be easier, you know, because it's just one verse. There's just so much in each one of these verses that I hope I can do it justice. So Colossians 1, let's stand together as we worship the Christ who came as more than just a baby. Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood on his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to realize who Jesus is. Oh, and Lord, help us to quit making life about us, because we wouldn't know life, we wouldn't have life if it wasn't for the creator of life and the giver of life and the redeemer and reconciler of life, our Lord Christ Jesus. Help us worship you today and forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, and keep your Bibles open. And we're going to be looking at these two things about Jesus being the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. One of the reasons I asked Brandon Whitaker to preach one of these messages is that I know he has a strong interest in apologetics. And apologetics is the defending of our faith with people who don't know why we believe what we believe. You know, we believe by faith. We've accepted. We accept this as God's holy word. And a couple weeks ago, Barbara even questioned me after. She said, you know, you said we can't prove that God exists. And she was saying, I don't know. It just, to me, it seems evident that everything proves that he exists. And is that pretty close to our conversation? And I agreed with her. But at the same time, it's by faith that we accept these things. Other people see the same things we see, a beauty of creation, the stars that declare the handiwork of God every night, and all of these things. And they see them and they say, well, there was probably some big bang that caused it. Boy, that's faith. To believe a fiction like that is more faith than to believe that there was a creator who knew what he was doing and designed all this. But anyway, so empirically, scientifically, we cannot prove the existence of God because we cannot find him wherever he is apart from what he does within us and where he reveals himself to us. Now, the gospel writers would say, but yet at the same time, when you see Jesus, you have seen God. He is the image of the invisible God. And that word for image, and so we're talking about the apologetics part of metaphysical. And believe me, I'm using words that I did not make up and do not understand all the meanings of them. But when we talk about metaphysics, it's a branch of philosophy that talks about reality and being, what's truly, truly real, what you can count on to be authentic and true. And when we're talking about Christ, Paul says he's the image of the invisible God, and in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. What Paul is saying is that when Jesus came to earth, he was God in the flesh. He was God, eternal God, but became man. Now remember, we believe the Bible teaches clearly that there's a triune God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three, but one. And God the Father is not God the Son, and God the Son is not God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is not God the Father, but they're all three God. And we believe that because the Bible teaches it and it proves out within history. And so when it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the word that it's used in the Greek is icon, which is, as it comes through, it's the word we use for icon. An icon is something that either a statue or a representation of something else. And Strong's Concordance has this definition. It's a mirror-like representation referring to what is very close in resemblance, like a high-definition projection, as defined by the context. And it says it exactly reflects its source, what it directly corresponds to, more than a shadow, rather it's a replication. Okay, now, the idea is that when the Bible uses icon, the image of God, it means God made him exactly like himself. Well, when that's about us. I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus was not created. He is exactly God in the flesh. If you want to know what God looks like, you look at Jesus, and that's what God looks like in human form. Does that, that doesn't make sense?
It does. Amen.
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense in human thinking. But it's true. Amen. See, that's what apologetics does, is it says, listen, I'm going to give an argument for why I believe what I believe. And in human speaking, we cannot do this. We cannot replicate it. But Jesus is the exact replication of God the Father come to earth as a man. He's more than a baby. He is eternal God in the form of a human. That's something we cannot prove scientifically, but we know by faith it's true eternally. It is the truth with the capital T. A lot of people in the world today don't believe, especially in America, do not believe in truth with a capital T. They say, well, that's good for you. That's your truth. I'm going to believe my truth. And if that's good for you, go with it, you know. As long as you don't step on my truth, I'm fine with it. Truth has a capital T. It's either true or it's false. It can't be both. And if you say something different than what I say, one of us is wrong, both of us are wrong, but both of us can't be right. And so when it says he's the image of the invisible God, John is going to write in his gospel, and we'll look at that in just a second, but also in 1 John, he said, we got to touch him. We got to hold him. We got to hear him. We got to see him. We got to see what God was like because Jesus came to reveal him. You know, a lot of people say, well, you can't know if there's a God. And even if you did, you can't know what he's like because he's so far away from us. But what the Bible says is that Jesus is God telling us who he is, showing us who he is, and letting us know how we can come to him. I love the Christmas story. We told it again yesterday to the kids at Christmas Bible school. And it's such a beautiful, lovely story. And when you think about it, though, how many of us would have wanted to go through that story? Moms who have had kids, how many of you wish that you could have made a 180-mile journey on a donkey or by foot in your 9 months of pregnancy when you were at the very end of your pregnancy? How many of you wish, man, I wish I could have been in a stable giving birth to my 13-pound baby, bouncing baby boy? How many of you wish that the smells, instead of a clean hospital room, were the smells of hay and other things? How many babies want to be born in a cave, basically, is probably what most people think the stable was like, a dugout cave, and laid where the animals fed? How many dads would want to be there while your wife is giving birth to the Son of God and want to know that there's nothing you can do to make sure everything's going to be clean? Jesse's waving his hand back here. Jesse back there, Perales, he actually was born in a barn. He's told me that before and shared that with me. And there, I guess, as agricultural family and everything else, that he was actually born in a barn. And it's interesting that they named him Jesus, Jesus. That's not what we want, but that's what God did. And when he went to tell that the King of Kings, that God had come in the flesh, who did he go to tell? He told shepherds living out in fields. The announcement should have gone to the kings. It should have gone to the politicians. It should have gone to the wealthy so that they could spread the word and everything else. Could have gone to the soldiers so that they could spread it everywhere and come and protect this King of Kings as he's being born. But he's born in a lowly manger, told to the shepherds, the lowest of their society, to make known who God is. And God is not a God who's against you. He's a God who loves you so much that he opens up the world to say, I'm the God who created you, and I'm here for anybody who'll have me. That's amazing. I shared at breakfast this morning with the men that, you know, I'd never really pictured that multitude of the heavenly host so much as when I was sharing it with some junior hires this week. The heavenly host, the name heavenly host means the armies of heaven. You know, and at Christmas time we see cute little angels and everything, but these were soldiers who appeared. And think about all your sci-fi movies that you've seen where this powerful UFO is coming in with all these powerful creatures coming in to say, and the people always say, do you come in peace? You know, they come and they're more powerful than anything that could have been seen or ever experienced on earth. They're soldiers, they're warriors. That's the heavenly host, is the armies of heaven. And they come and appear to shepherds and said, don't be afraid, because God is sending goodwill to you. He's letting you know, I'm for you, not against you. The birth of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, and the invisible God tells the message, my son is coming in peace, and he's bringing my goodwill to you. You have found favor with me. I didn't think about it till after the breakfast, and I think a couple of us were talking afterwards, and that army, what was the army sent for? For the spiritual battles against the enemies of man. There's demonic forces everywhere. They're the invisible, unseen realities as well. And this army is there to make sure nothing happens to the Christ child, and also to say, hey, God can back up the plan of giving you peace in your life. We spend so much time seeking after things that will bring some kind of happiness or some kind of peace in the crazy chaos of our lives, when God is saying, here, look that there's more than a baby going on here. The unseen God is coming to be seen so that you can know how you can get to him. We cannot know God unless God makes himself known. The ants that are crawling around in your ant hills around your house cannot know you until you make yourself known to them. Once you stick your foot in there, they'll make themselves known to you too. But it's that idea of God became one of us. And one of the things that goes on in Colossians chapter 2, he says, make sure you don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, those demonic spiritual powers, rather than from Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of God dwells in a human body, lives in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is head over every rule and every authority. The unseen God that came as Jesus Christ is also the unseen God that lives within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's amazing. That whole idea of all the fullness, it's a word, pleroma, means the sum total and even superabundance. You can't get any fuller than what's contained in it. And so when it's talking about Jesus, you cannot have any more God than you have in Jesus when he comes. And then it says, and he dwelled in a human body, and we also are complete in Christ. Do you feel complete? I don't feel finished, but the Bible says I am complete. All of God's fullness dwells in me. That same army of heaven, that same power dwells in us through Jesus. He's more than a baby. It goes on, he says, the firstborn of all creation. That doesn't mean he was the first to be created, because he wasn't created. We'll see that in John 1 in just a second. But the firstborn means the first in time, the first in the preeminent one, the one having priority and inheritance. When they talked about in the New Testament the firstborn son, and they used this word, it was about what he was inheriting, not about the time of his birth, that he was born before all the others. It was always about the benefit of being the first. And so when it says he's the firstborn of all creation, he's the one that gets it all. He's the one that owns it all. And so the first to experience something, he's also going to talk about in verse 18, that he was the firstborn among the dead. He was the first in time. And so the reason we know that he wasn't created and the first to be created, John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him or through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness never comprehended it. Then in verse 10 it says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave right to become children of God. Children, not even those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then in verse 14 it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Jesus is more than a baby, because it says the only begotten from the Father. And then in verse 18 says the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father has explained him. Do you see what John did there? He said, not only is he the only begotten Son of God, he is the only begotten God. He's the only God who has taken on human flesh. He is the only God who has come to us. The word for only begotten, and again, sometimes the Greek words have some expressions that we don't get to see in the English. And one of the reasons I like using the New American Standard Bible or the King James Bible, when you get to John 3:16 and when you get to John 1, they still use the word begotten, the only begotten. And by the way, the NIV and those, they say the one and only or the unique Son of God, those are fine translations. But the only begotten, the Greek word is monogenēs, and if you break it down, mono meaning only, what does genes look like? Genes means the same in species, only one of its kind. It's the idea that I like to say it this way, although the Bible never intended to be a scientific book, but when you think about monogenetics, it means he's the only one who has ever had the same. Again, let me put this. This is an illustration that may correspond to reality or not. He's the only one that's the same DNA with the Father God. He's the only one that is the same exact as God. We are adopted into the family and transformed. But Jesus will always be the unique Son of God, because he's the only one who is God in the flesh. He was fully human, just like you and I. But at the same time, he was fully God, just like God in him. I can't explain it. but I know the Bible teaches it and it declares it as truth, that Jesus, the reason he could save you is because he had God's divinity. And the reason he can sympathize with you is because he had our humanity. That last part of verse 18 says, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father has explained God to us. It's the word we get our word exegete from, which means to draw out from the text what it means. If you want to know God, you have to know Christ. And that's what this passage is saying. This verse, when we talk about takeaways from this verse, he's the image of Almighty God, the invisible God. If you want to know God, you have to know Christ. God is only known through revelation. And Hebrews said, in these last days, he's revealed himself perfectly through his Son. He is the only way of knowing God. A lot of, and you say, well, my neighbor says he knows God. You know, these people in this religion over here say they know God. And these people over here, they claim to have a knowledge of God. The Bible says you can only know God if you know Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. No one comes to my Father except through me. Thomas said, man, how are we supposed to know this way? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And so when we're talking about him being the image of the invisible God, if you want to know God, you have to know Christ. And when you know Christ, you do know God. Something that we as believers need to start accepting by faith is that when the Bible tells us we can know God by knowing Christ, you can know God. Quit searching around trying to find other answers in different places because you don't feel like you got everything. Keep seeking Christ and you will have everything, because in Christ all the fullness of God exists. And we get to experience that fullness only through Christ. Now you can say, I don't know, there's a lot of truth claims out there. I better investigate them. I challenge you this. Two things. Most of you don't need to investigate them. You just need to push towards Christ. But those of you who do have that yearning in your heart to investigate them, our Sunday school lesson this morning in Colossians 3 said, make sure you hang on, or I guess it was last week in 2, hang on to what you have. Don't lose hold of Christ Jesus as you're seeking truth. Always make sure, because you're only going to find it in Christ. Because he's the only one who shows us God. He's the only one who knows God. He's the only one that can take us to God. By the way, that image, and this is what I was saying I wanted to get back to. In Genesis 1, this is one of our faith builders memory verse we taught the kids. God said, let us make a man in our own image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. By the way, reptiles and all those kind of things are creepy. And the Bible even calls them creepy, okay? So, but verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, the word used for image there is the same word used for Jesus in Colossians 1. We were created to be an image of the Creator, to reflect what God looks like on earth. We fell into sin because we wanted to reflect our own thoughts and our own attitudes and wanted to be our own kings and our own gods. Jesus came to say, here's what the image of God will always look like. and human, no matter what you try, how much you try to be your own God or do your own thing or get your own way to life, you will always fall short because you will never measure up to the image you were created in. You were created to be like God. Jesus came so that we could regain that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, image. To know God, you must know Christ. When you know Christ, you know God. Firstborn, Jesus has to be first in everything. But the other image, being created in his image, Jesus not only shows us what God is like, but also shows us what we are supposed to be like, who we were created to be. Does your life look like Christ? Does your life revolve around Christ? Does he have first place in everything? Jesus is more than the baby. We don't pray to the baby Jesus. We don't spend our time every day talking about the birth of the Savior. We celebrate the new birth we have because our risen Savior died for our sins, rose again in victory over sin and death, and gives life every day. Our mirror at home. I used to think I had pretty good complexion. You know, pretty good skin. You know, and I'd look in the morning and everything looked okay. We bought some new light bulbs. And they're the daylight LED bulbs. And they're 100 watts, but they only use like 15 watts of power, so they don't overpower our thing. You know, before we always had those 40 watts or 60 watt bulbs in there. And, all of a sudden I started seeing little hairs here that my razor had missed and blemishes here and there. And I don't want y'all coming up to me saying, let me see those blemishes. But when the light got brighter, I could see more of who I am. Come on now. And with Jesus coming to earth, the glory of God displayed in him should reveal to us whether we look like the image of God or not. And it should reflect everything clearly to us. If we'll allow the Holy Spirit this year to just, God, just show me. Jesus, show me. The Holy Spirit who dwells within me, show me those areas that I've taken back from you, those blemishes in my life, so that I can also reflect the image of Christ Almighty and reflect the image of the God who made me. This year at Christmas, when you're thinking about how you're going to respond to family and friends and jerks, Christmas brings out the worst in people too, right? I mean, they're rushing for this and that and everything. When you're thinking about how you're going to respond, will Christ be Lord of every word, every thought, every deed? Will you set your mind on the things above, not on the earthly things? And will you let his glory shine in you? He didn't come so we could have a cool story to tell our kids. He came to bring the glory of God to people. We get to share in that if we share in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for all you've given. Lord, help us not to just flippantly go through the holidays doing the things we've always done, singing the songs we've always sung. But Lord, instead, help us to focus on worshiping, keeping Christ in Christmas, because Christ is always the focus of our lives. Lord, reflect your image in me. Reflect, make me an image of your glory so that the world can see what God can do when he brings goodwill to a man. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to sing and just make a commitment to serving the Lord and seeking the Lord and loving the Lord this Christmas.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
That's our heart's desire, Lord. We need you in every aspect of our life. When things get tough, we need you. When things are going well, we need you. This life is vain without you. And may the image of Christ be all over us as we leave this place today, that others would see Jesus in us. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. Been great being in the house of the Lord with you today. Ladies, make your way next door and enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship. Guys, keep the kids. God bless you.